Just a friendly reminder that the opinions expressed on this show are not worth a Canadian penny, so disregard anything you hear that might get anyone in trouble. And despite some of the great ideas you may hear, don't try them at home. Go to a friend's house instead.
It's time to get a gun. That's what I've been thinking. Well, I could afford one. And if I did just a little less drinking, time to put something between me and the sun. Time to get a gun.
Hey everyone, and welcome to episode 35 for December 12th, 2013. This is Slamfire Radio, and Trevor and Owen, they decided that you guys weren't important enough for them, and so they decided not to show up. So I got some other guys to come along and help me out. I don't really know who they are, but they're gonna, you know, they'll do their best, I guess. I don't know. You guys still there?
Yeah, we're here, eh?
Hello?
We're here.
Talking to us?
Oh, wait, you guys.
Wait.
Brian, when did you get here?
This is Slamfire?
Oh.
Yeah, Slamfire.
Zeke, you told me we were doing a different show.
I thought this was Talking Lead.
I thought this was Student of the Gun.
Oh.
No.
Crap.
Oh.
No.
Well, as long as it's not that filthy mouth Road Gunner podcast. That guy uses foul language, and I find it offensive.
That guy named Luke?
Yeah. No.
Well, I got to tell you, I really don't like editing. So, it's swear up a storm probably, right? Just to make me work.
Point taken.
We won't.
So, yes, good. We have Zeke and Left Hand from Talking Lead on. And as well, Brian Bolivar from the Canadian Service Rifle of the Quarter Combat something or other. I don't know. It's not really that important.
A mouthful.
The multi-syllabic.
Change the name of that show.
Canadian Service Conditions Radio.
And then like modern rimfire rifle. Is that what it is? MRR, modern rimfire rifle?
No.
No? Oh.
Tactical BB shooting?
You shoot your eye out, kid.
It is that time of year.
It certainly is. So,
Matt, remember when I said I was going to stab you with a bat?
With a bat, yeah.
It's going to be a bigger, blunter bat now.
Oh, good.
I'm going to use that now.
The cool thing is that you're not coming this year to the three-gun shoot or the charity shoot because you're wussing out for whatever reason. So I've got a whole year of life ahead of me. I don't have to worry about this for a while.
Or right, you'll so never know when to expect me to come.
Right.
Yes.
What's a cherry shoot?
A cherry shoot? That's close enough. Charity shoot.
Charity.
Cherry shoot is a
I'm
whole
sorry,
other
get past your accents. I'm sorry.
You can't get past our accent. That's funny. We do a charity
shoot. You realize it's going to be all Canadians listening to this, right?
No.
Actually, about 40% of our...
No, I'm kidding.
About 40% of our population is American, actually.
Are they really?
Our listeners. Yeah, we've got quite a few listeners of our show.
Well, see, they've got the same problem I got with your accent.
Yeah, probably. They it's probably like don't know what a cherry shoot is either.
I know what a cherry shoot is, but you don't want to do any editing, so I'm not going to go into details.
Thank you.
Now, wait a minute. We have two guys from Tennessee telling us about accent.
Well, you know, I thought you were talking about
this is normal, boys.
An homage to, our first president, George Washington.
But that was our first president, not theirs.
I said
no.
Our first president.
Yes. We've never had a president.
Never, ever.
No.
Yeah.
Y'all have like a constable or something like that.
Close
right?
enough, yeah. The Royal Canadian Constabulary of Newfoundland or something. I don't know.
Nice.
So anyway, we normally start off the show with what we've done with guns. So why don't we start with Zeke and we'll work our way through and we can all kind of chat a little bit about what we did.
Do you have a timeline? Is it like this week, a week ago?
I don't care. You got about... 10, 5 minutes, 30 seconds, about
just
a half
did,
a minute.
Like,
10, 5 minutes, 30 seconds, half a minute. Okay. Well, I recently, on the side, I build websites, and I recently built a website for a gun shop here in Tennessee. And as payment, we did some bartering, and I got a new AR. I got the Head Down Products, full billet, 5.56.
Upper and lower.
Upper and lower, full billet. Yeah, nice. Got the True Glow tactical sight on it. Pretty cool sight for an inexpensive price.
Went budget.
Budget, yeah. And then I got a Kel-Tec Sub 2000, which I wish Trevor was on here because I knew he'd give me a hard time for getting one.
Look, he regrets getting rid of that thing.
Does he really?
Sort of.
He didn't tell us that.
No.
Piece of crap.
It was a neat little gun. I really enjoyed shooting it. I think he did too. He didn't really like the trigger on it, but I mean, who does really?
They've got another trigger that you can put in them.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I love mine. I've got two, man. I think they're the coolest guns ever made. I
mean, they're neat.
Just, yeah.
So I went and shot the AR yesterday. And can I bash products on here?
I don't care. It's your show. Oh, wait. No, it's our show.
Are you? Well, wait a minute, Matt. Are you sponsored by
we're
anybody?
We're not sponsored by anybody. You can say whatever you like so long as it's not defamatory or libel.
Well, I may ruin your chance of getting sponsored by this company, but the Sightmark, I think it's called a QD reflex sight.
Okay.
Oh, it's a piece.
Oh, yeah?
I don't like it. I put it on the AR. It lost zero after like 10 rounds. And then.
Did you have it clamped down?
Yeah, I had it clamped down good.
Are you a good shooter?
With duct tape.
Duct tape.
And then the reticle. You know how some like cheaper reflex holographic sights, they kind of like halo real bad and they blur? Yeah, this one was doing it really stinking bad. So I took it back and I swapped it out for the True Glow tactical sight, which I like. It's not a red dite.
Easy trigger.
It's got a crosshair, and then the crosshair will illuminate either green or red if you want it to, or you can just leave it black. But I like it.
Oh, okay. Is it a one power or does it have a magnification?
Two.
It's a two power. Okay.
Yep.
Cool. Simple crosshair, just up and down.
Just simple crosshair. No, no little lines for dope or whatever.
Right.
But I like it. I like it. I hadn't shot with that sight yet, but I just put it on today after I swapped out the sight mark for that one.
Cool.
So yeah.
Do you prefer shooting your ARs with a bit of magnification, or do you like them with just a simple red dot?
I've never shot it with magnification.
Okay.
I've always used a red dot in my AR.
Yeah, Trevor just this year shot his first competition, I think, with a low magnification scope, and he did pretty good. So, you know, I don't think there's anything negative about it. It's just a little bit of getting used to, perhaps.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is how quick, especially for competition, is how quick you can get on target with it.
Right.
Sometimes with the magnification, what is it called? The blind spots, if you don't get your head just right? I can't remember what it's
blind
called.
Blind spots.
Yeah, yeah, that's it.
I think they call them blind spots in Canada, too.
Okay. I didn't know if they were blind spots A or not.
Oh, maybe, yeah. But yeah, no, you're right. With a red dot, you don't have to be exactly lined up perfectly to see through it. As long as you see that dot, you know you're on. But with a scope, with any sort of magnification, you kind of got to get centered just right behind it.
Well, I think it depends on your application, what you're using your AR for.
Sure.
Whether you go with magnification or you go with just the red dot.
Yeah. And then I bought a bunch of ammo for my new carry weapon. I have switched from the Glock 19 to the Glock 30.
And the Glock 30 is the
45 ACP.
Oh, is it the same size frame as the 19 or is it the full size?
It's the 19 version of the 45.
Or the 45 version of the 19.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
The mid-size.
Thank you. Should we make an announcement that I am on painkillers because I tore a ligament in my shoulder?
That is, yeah, that's valid, and we will ride you for it tonight because it's fun, but yes, you have a good excuse.
Now, you haven't told us what you've done, and because it's a family show, we're not going to ask. I have my own nasty little theory about how you hurt yourself, and I'm just going to keep it to myself.
And we thank you for that. So does the editor, which is me. So tell us about this Glock 30. It's a 45. How does the what generation is it? Gen 3, Gen 4?
It is a Gen 3.
Yeah, and how do you find the recoil on that?
The recoil, and I actually tested it because when I shot it the first time, I was like, wow, that's pretty negligible difference between the 19 and then
that
I shot
the
19.
Big word. Good job, man.
Yeah, thank you. No problem. but I tried the 19, tried the 45, I mean, tried the 30, 19, 30, and the recoil, I mean, I would have to do a video side shot to see what the rise is, but it didn't seem any different at all. But of course, it's a heavier gun too, so it's going to absorb a lot of the recoil.
That's right, yep. So is it much thicker?
Yeah, it is. It's not, I'm a big guy, so on me, it doesn't really bother me. It doesn't poke out, but I could. But on a tiny guy that's like, you know, 5'5" and weighs 100 pounds soaking wet, yeah, it may be a big difference to him.
Right. So you still have no problem concealing it then?
No, not at all.
Okay, that's yep. cool.
He could conceal a freaking shotgun on his body.
That'd be Zeke, fun too.
What's the mag capacity on the 30?
The 10 plus one.
Ooh, yeah. Canada legal.
Yeah, 10 plus one. And then I've been carrying around the Glock 21 mag in it too, which gives me 13 plus one.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Neat.
Very nice. Now, do you carry the regular size mag in it with in the gun, or do you carry that as a spare mag?
I carry are you talking about the 21 mag?
Yeah.
I carry that as a spare.
Oh, okay. So you don't, yes, you have the shorter mag in because it conceals better than you have the longer mag for a reload, which of course
plus it looks easy. Really goofy too.
But yeah. In our state, we don't have to conceal.
Yeah, I could carry a 30 round mag if I wanted to.
You know, our philosophy on that is you're jack wagon if you don't carry conceal.
Yeah.
Okay. You guys prefer concealed carry over open carry then?
Absolutely.
Yeah, just the whole, you know, try to get the mindset of the bad guy. Who's the first person he's going to shoot when
he walks
in
the guy with the gun.
Exactly.
Yeah. So. Now, okay, yeah, gotcha. No, that makes perfect sense.
But then you guys...
we're legally allowed to, if we wanted to.
Right. Yeah, so basically what's nice about that is you conceal carry with a nice loose, open, you know, button-up shirt or whatever, and it flaps open in the wind, you're still okay. You're not going to get in trouble for, you know, displaying your firearm.
Right.
Imprinting exactly. or something like that, yeah.
Cool. All right, so that's what you did then, huh, Zeke?
That was what I did.
Left hand, you want to regale us with your recent activities?
What does regale mean?
It doesn't matter. Just go ahead and tell us what...
I'm going to do my own interpretation of what he means there. So,
Is this an interpretive dance? Because I have to tell you, this is an audio show, not a video show.
Nope.
So.
Oh, crap.
Also, these faces I've been making, you've not been seeing those. Damn. Okay.
But these guys do a lot of YouTube, so they could send the YouTube up of them recording with us. So it'll be fine.
There you go.
Well, I didn't do anything quite as exciting as Zeke with his arsenal that he's recently acquired. But for our show, I have been doing some things. We've got a charity event coming up in February.
What's that? A charity event? I don't understand.
Exactly.
Your accent's weird.
Same thing that you were doing. And it's with the Rescue Ranch. They're out of Statesville, North Carolina. They're an animal shelter that was started by Chrissy Newman and Ryan Newman, the famous NASCAR driver.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
So they approached us to help them, you know, raise some money for their next phase of their project. But anyway, we've been working with some vendors and people to donate prizes and guns and things like that. So we got this company called Northside Gun here local to donate. Actually, the AR that Zeke was telling you about earlier, the Head Down, donated one of those as a kind of a raffle prize giveaway where we're going to raise money and we're going to have it customized with our logo, Rescue Ranch's logo, and then we've got a guy that we know here that's going to also put a nice Cerakote scheme on it. We hadn't kind of decided what we're going to do yet as far as that, but been working with that, getting that set up, and then we've also got what was the other one that we're working on?
SHOT Show?
Yeah, we're working on SHOT Show, getting all that lined up, trying to get our interviews and everything going. You guys know what SHOT Show is, right?
Yeah, it's some shotgun event. You guys shoot like skeets or something. I don't know.
Exactly. Yeah. It happens in January in Las Vegas. So we're going to that. We're going to be there at range day. And then been working on a 300 build that we're going to do from scratch. We're going to actually build a 300 from the ground up.
Blackout.
A 300 dropout, yeah?
Yeah, 300 blackout from the ground up. Basically got all the parts for that, but that's another thing I've been working on is trying to get the parts for that. Just need the barrel and a couple of the upper parts, and we'll be ready to go with that, and we're going to do a video.
Nice.
Putting the 300 blackout together.
That'll be cool. Now, are you guys going to suppress it? What do you guys got for suppressor laws down there in Tennessee?
We can do them.
Beauty.
Yeah.
Still got to get the back stamp and all, but we can do it.
So are you going to suppress it?
Yeah. I mean, we're going to make it suppressible.
Nice.
I don't know that we'll have one ready for the video, but yeah, I mean, that's the intention.
That's kind of the whole idea behind the 300, right? Was that it's a nice, big, fat, slow-moving bullet that's subsonic, so you can put a suppressor on it and shoot real quietly.
It's ideal, yeah, ideal for suppressing. Yeah. It's a great, you know, happy medium between the 5.56 and the 308. Perfect hunting round. So, I mean, you don't have to worry about underkill with that round. So, especially a 30 cal.
Right.
So, it's going to make a great hunting system as well.
What kind of, just off the top of your head, do you know if they're, what the muzzle velocities are on that?
I don't.
Fast.
Fast? Well, it can't be as fast as a 5.56, obviously. How heavy are those bullets?
Well, you know, they're like, they make different grains. They've got subsonic and supersonic.
Yeah. So
you can go either way with those.
You guys know who Steve Lee is?
Steve Lee?
Steve Lee.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, it does.
He did that song, I Like Guns.
Not ringing a bell. Sing it for us.
Yeah. Well, why don't we get him to sing it for us?
We were doing a little karaoke earlier. You didn't like my singing, so let's see what this guy's got.
Steve, how you doing, man? I'm glad you stepped right up and had your audio all set. We're actually recording the show right now. Just wanted to introduce you to Zeke and Left Hand. There are a couple other podcasters.
Hey, Steve Lee.
Yeah, hey, this isn't working at all, Steve. You're gonna have to come back in a minute. Oh, it's too bad. I was kind of hoping that would have worked seamlessly, and I would have been all cool for introducing Steve Lee live on the show like that. But you know,
yeah, I kind of caught on to what you were doing there, so I was playing along.
What's going on?
Hey, Steve, how you doing? We're recording the show right now. How you doing?
Oh, good, man. Sorry, I was on the phone.
Yeah. Why don't you just give me a call halfway across the world? You know, while you're on the phone, that's cool.
They rang as you rang.
Right.
Wait a minute. Is
way more important than you.
Is Steve the one that wrote the song for Hickok 45?
He's the one.
Okay, yeah. Hickok's a good friend of ours.
Hey, he's not a bad bloke.
Yeah. And he's taller than me, which freaks me out, because I'm a tall guy.
I look like a dwarf next to him.
Yes,
so
you do.
Are we going to get treated to one of Steve's songs?
I've got to go find my guitar if you really need to, but I'm not really that keen, but whatever you like.
No, yeah, that's good, Steve. No worries. I just wanted to say hi, basically.
So what's been going on, McClatchy?
Not much. You know, just been doing the same old stuff, having lots of snow and nice cold weather here. So I suppose you're getting the complete opposite of that down there in Australia where it's nice and warm.
Yeah, it's stinking hot. It's like 40 degrees, so that's 40 degrees Celsius. What's that work out at? Pretty hot.
Hot.
Yeah, pretty hot. It's like 100.
We're from Tennessee, so we can't figure out the math on that.
Right. Yeah, but it's been pretty hot down here. We've had a few fires and stuff going on around the country, which people sort of frown at me at the moment because I'm out there selling fireworks for New Year's Eve, and it's like dry as, and there's grass fires everywhere, and I'm selling firecrackers. It's perfect.
That's awesome.
Yep, firecrackers are fun, especially when it's dry and you can burn down the bush.
That's it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cool.
So
all
sorry,
right.
I'm not that talkative. Yeah, that's all you want to talk to me about?
No, nothing. I just wanted to say hi.
That's it? Cool, you got him to call in from Australia to say hi?
Basically, yeah.
Wow.
This wasn't planned. Steve calls me randomly, and he was calling me, and I had to decline the call, and I was like, oh, what the heck, let's have him on. So I called him back, and apparently his phone rang, so I don't know.
Sorry, man.
No, yeah, it's your fault. Yeah, it's all you. No, I'm
calls
kidding.
You and takes another call.
So you got
Matthew,
a couple.
Matthew, can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Anything exciting been going on with your gun laws and stuff over there in Canada? Anything new?
Our gun laws are pretty much status quo. They haven't really changed since last time we talked. Recently had, and we're going to cover it later on in the show, actually, somebody is exercising their self-defense, our new self-defense laws, so that's kind of cool. Somebody fired a warning shot, which is kind of funny because everybody says they don't work and it worked this time, but we'll get to that story in a little bit. But yeah, how's the gun laws in Australia?
Ah, they suck. Sure. I mean, they're still pretty tough. I mean, I'm fighting the government at the moment. They've sort of suspended my licenses at the moment, but they do that sort of thing every now and then. So I'm fighting them. Now, I should be okay, but it's just a bit painful. And yeah. But I also got a phone call. And an exclusive producer came down here from a television station here, and they're doing a show called Living with the Enemy. And they asked me whether I'd like to go on the show where it's like one, like a wife swap type situation where, but it's not someone's wife, of course.
Right. But,
I know your wife can sometimes be your enemy, but this isn't the case this time. Anyway, the show is called Living with the Enemy. So someone comes down from the city and they're completely anti-gun, anti-hunting, and they live with me for 5 days, and then I go down there and live with them for 5 days, and I've got to take them hunting and take them out in the scrub and do all that sort of stuff. So,
and then they're going to take you out for sushi and all that other hoity-toity.
That's what I said to the lady. I said, I know what I do. I'm a hunter, so I know what I do, but what doesn't anti-hunter do? I don't get it. She goes, oh, we haven't really got anyone yet. And I go, what am I going to do, sitting around Sydney drinking lattes or something? I don't get it, mate. What else do anti-hunting people do? She goes, yeah, never really thought about that. She goes, they just anti-hunt. I go, yeah, it's not an activity. It doesn't work.
Hey, Steve.
So I don't know what I'm going to be doing down there.
Hey, Steve, I just got a text from Hickok, and he said, tell Steve I figured he would be serving time in prison by now. So I'm assuming that's an inside joke or something.
No, there's no joke about that. I'm actually trying not to serve time in prison right now as we speak. That's good.
Oh, wow. Well, maybe we shouldn't put that on air.
No, congratulations on prison so far.
I'm not going to prison or anything. I haven't done anything criminal, but the laws down here, because they're so tight and because I put my videos and everything up, it does get as you probably understand, it gets a little tough.
Oh, sure.
Down, especially with YouTube. When I put stuff up, they're always sort of trying to look for breaches and everything, and the Firearms Registry does keep an eye on me because I'm not probably I'd probably say down here in Australia, I do have a fair bit of following where people do – I wouldn't say stretch the law. They just try to get the best they can out of the law, as I do. And
buck the system a little bit, yeah?
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, I just want to keep within the system. I don't think you should break any laws. I think the moment you start breaking laws is it doesn't make you hungry enough to get them changed. And I think if you just work on it that you stay within the law, then it actually forces you to get it changed. And so I'm a firm believer in that. So I try and stay within the law, but the registry looks at my videos and thinks, you know, that's a bit dangerous. And so I've got a thing going on with them at the moment where I'm saying it may be perceived dangerous, but that's the whole idea is for perception, but it's not actually dangerous at all. So we're working on stuff like that, but just the usual crap, you know?
Yeah.
What do you do? Very good. So this is actually live.
Well, it's not live in the sense that people are listening to us right now, but it's being recorded, yeah.
Being recorded.
I thought it must have been live since he got this text to you. I thought he must be listening in.
No, I think they texted him to let him know that you were on. Yeah,
it's funny. Yeah. Yeah, we'll tell him, yeah, I'm not locked up yet. So it's
now, your song, your Life is Good song that you did for him?
Yep.
That thing gets stuck in my head for days when I hear it on his little radio show he does.
Yeah, because it was in my head and now it's out and I'm happy it's out.
Yeah.
Like demons.
But my daughter actually wrote sort of come up with the structure of that song, and then me, Hickok, Big John, my wife sat around and finished the song up. I'm just eating lollies at the moment, sorry about that. But we just sat around and finished the song. Actually, I was really proud of that song. It's a good song. But
Hickok had some,
yeah, really good.
Well, and with us being here in Nashville, I mean, us saying a country song's good, you know, that's pretty good props.
Don't let him fool you. We don't know the first thing about country music.
And that's why we like you so much.
Music, some of that country music that comes out of Nashville should be left in Nashville.
Yes. It shouldn't even make it to I was going to say album, but I guess now it's all online. So.
Yeah. I mean, some's great. I love some stuff. You guys got Buddy and Julie Miller living in Nashville, and Buddy Miller is one of the artists of all time. He's spectacular. I've loved him for years, and then now he's sort of gone mainstream and more people are sort of getting to know him, but they got great music in, guys.
We had a guy on a couple shows ago, Marcus Fox.
Yeah, if you like good country, I mean, just original country kind of music, listen to Marcus Fox.
Yeah, and he's a former veteran Marine, and I mean, amazing.
Love him already. Yeah, I'm in.
Yeah, Marcus Fox is his name, but it's Marcus with a K. We always got to tell people that.
Okay.
Wow, we've wildly strayed off course here, boys. We're talking country music on Slam Fire Radio.
Hey, so to get us back on... No, go ahead, Steve.
So I was just saying, Matthew wouldn't understand anything about country music.
Not a thing. The only country music singer I listen to is Steve Lee.
Well, at least you listen to the best.
That's right.
And now Marcus Fox, right?
Well, I don't know.
See, Matthew, that proves that you've never listened to our show because every one of our shows is like this.
Now I know why I'm not going to. Very good.
Okay, all right. So to put us back on track, you'd asked me earlier about the ballistic performance of the 300 Blackout.
I did, yeah.
All right, so for 125 grain, which is 8 grams, I guess, do you guys want just
no,
the grain?
No, grains is good. We do grains up here in Canada, too. Okay.
So 125 grains is 2,215 feet per second.
Oh, that's going pretty quick then.
Yeah, and then
I mean, it's definitely supersonic at that stage.
Yeah, and then the 220 grain would be 1,010 feet per second.
And that's the
considerable amount slower.
Yeah, the 1,010 is the subsonic stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right, that'd be the 220 grain.
Yeah. All right, cool.
Yeah. Awesome. On a 16-inch barrel.
Right. All right. Well, Brian, let's jump over to you and see what you've done this week.
This week has been thin.
Okay, well, that's great. What I did... No, I'm just kidding. Keep going.
Oh, you are such a...
Well, you said it was thin. I was just letting it, you know...
McClatchy, you were so consistent. It makes me crazy.
I do what I can to drive you nuts.
Yes. Okay, I'm going to jump back in time a few weeks, actually.
That's cool.
You can't stop me, because I'm just going to roll.
You've got a time machine?
Sort of, kind of.
Canada's awesome.
And it's something that didn't actually come up on my own show, which it should have. But a few weeks ago, we shot our last CQB match for the season. So my last competition for the year. And I decided to shoot my M&P. Wow. It worked fantastic. Yeah. I was getting great hits out at 25 and 15 yards. Beauty. So I may start competing with the M&P more often now.
So are you just getting used to the trigger pull now? Because I remember that that thing had a ridiculously heavy trigger pull.
Yeah, it's about 8 pounds, I think.
Yeah.
6, 8, yeah. But yeah, I guess I'm just getting used to it, or I just decided it doesn't matter what the trigger pull is. I just have to hold the sights on the target. And
here's
squeeze.
The thing about trigger pulls, at least my limited experience with shooting. A heavy trigger pull isn't necessarily bad so long as it's crisp.
Yeah.
But if you have a mushy, gritty trigger pull, that's when mm-hmm. you start getting accuracy issues. I actually found one of my rifles has a really heavy, but it's very crisp. You pull, and then snap. It goes like you're breaking a glass rod, but you're breaking like a 4-inch round glass rod. You know, it's huge.
It's consistent,
but
yeah.
Very accurate, though, because when you're pulling on it, you're pulling that rifle into you. You're squeezing the rifle harder. The sights are staying lined up perfectly, and then it snaps, and I find that rifle very accurate.
But yeah, and I do find the trigger on my M&P is crisp. Mm-hmm. There is a fair bit of take-up, but I did some polishing, so I got rid of a lot of the grit in that take-up. So when it comes to breaking, it is pretty crisp.
Yep.
Is that the M&P 15?
M&P 9.
Oh, okay. So does it have the 1.8 twist barrel?
We're talking about a pistol, not a rifle.
Oh, yeah. My bad.
Yeah, well, no, I know. My bad. Yeah. I started talking about a rifle.
Everything M&P, yeah.
No, I started talking about a rifle, but no, I see. I
think
knew
that's
he had
what
a pistol.
Off.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Brian, what were you using prior to that?
I've been I have been shooting my 1911.
See, that's the thing. Jumping from like
a four-pound
trigger.
Yeah.
Yeah, jumping from a 4-pound trigger to an 8-pound trigger, I mean, that's going to mess you up for a little while. But once you get used to it, I mean, obviously,
it's two different platforms of guns, too.
Yep.
You know, you're shooting there.
That's right.
It's totally
so
different.
That M&P takes some getting used to.
Yes, it has. But I think I've turned the corner on it.
I think you've mastered it, huh? So what were your times? How'd you do?
Mastered. Master is a pretty strong word, but yeah, I'm comfortable with it. So I have options now. I'll have to decide which pistol I want to shoot in a competition, so that'll be cool.
Very cool.
That'll be some fun. And then for more recently gun-related stuff, I bought a sword.
That's not gun-related at all.
A sword.
That's Owen-related is what that is.
It is kind of. It's funny story. We're redoing the dining room in the house, and we got this table. It's really kind of rustic looking, and I said, that looks like a Viking table. I should have a sword.
Uh-huh.
And actually, I managed to convince my wife we needed a sword to decorate the dining room.
And she said yes.
And she said yes, so
Beauty.
We bought a sword.
This round.
Is it your anniversary or something?
We're not going to go there. I'm not describing what happens on my anniversary.
You get swords on your anniversary, right?
See now, Matthew, we're going to continue to reference the anniversary to where you have no choice but to leave it in.
Maybe I'll just tell the joke, but I'm not going to. Basically, we cut out part of Steve Lee's conversation with us where he references that today's his anniversary, and then he goes into semi-graphic detail about his morning. So that's as far as we're going to go with that.
Way to go, Steve.
Way to bump us up to an R rating.
Yeah, there you go. Other than that, I'm waiting very patiently for Amazon to ship me my Streamlight TLR1.
Yeah, ship. That was a P on the end of that. I don't have to bleep it.
Oh, here's something.
I didn't know Amazon can deliver like that.
Hey, I remember what else I was going to tell you guys when you said shipped. I got one of those 6-hour stabilizing braces for my AR pistol. Have you
Look,
seen that?
I'm just happy that you pulled a squirrel moment in somehow.
Yeah. Yeah. You know it's going to happen.
And he's not even the ADD one.
I want to see a video of one of those because I haven't seen one yet.
What is it? Tell me about it.
A squirrel moment?
No, not a squirrel moment. This brace thing stabilizing unit.
6-hour stabilizing brace?
Yeah.
Well, okay. So in America, if the barrel is less than 16 inches, then it's considered a short barrel rifle.
That's right. You got to pay a $200 tax stamp.
You got to do the you got to go through a different kind of background check and do the tax stamp. Blah blah blah.
Yeah.
So, we've got a work around that where if you don't put a stock on it, and you just put the buffer tube, then it's considered a pistol.
Right. We have the same thing up here. We have AR-15 pistols, which allows us 10-round magazines for them.
Okay. There you go. So you know where I'm talking about. So
I do.
What 6 Hours got, they've got this this new product out that's called a stabilizing brace.
It makes the gun part of your arm.
Basically, what it does, it looks just like it's a butt stock, but it's like a nice,
it's not
durable kind of
stock. Be careful what you say.
Well, it looks like a butt stock. It's completely legal because when you buy it, you get documentation with
right.
it that says this is, you know, completely does not make your short barreled or your AR pistol a short barrel rifle. But basically it's got straps and you strap it around your forearm and, you know, basically it's for stabilization.
This is the first step before the cyborgs come in. You know that, right?
Yeah.
You're strapping machinery to yourself.
Yeah. But I mean, if you go and just Google it and look at it, it's self-explanatory. Okay.
Maybe.
That's all I'm going to say about it, but I've got one ordered. It should be here in the next couple of days. I'll shoot you pictures of it.
That'd be really cool. I'd like to see it.
There's tons of pictures online right now anyway.
Yeah. That's cool.
But yeah. So, yeah, once you see it, you're going to go, oh, okay. Really?
Hey, well, if it keeps you, you know, it helps you shoot straighter and it prevents you from having to pay more taxes to the government, I'm all for it.
Tendonitis, you know, it helps with that. So
yeah. Hey.
It was actually
you should have this a medical write-off. Obamacare take care of that, won't they?
No.
Yeah.
They will provide you a cell phone, though.
Affordable Health Care Act might.
Yeah,
bleep. But sorry, Brian, I didn't mean to interrupt your weekend gun, so please continue.
Yeah, I forget where I was. Oh, yeah, Streamlight TLR1.
Right.
I actually found one that I could afford.
Cool.
I was watching on Amazon, and the TLR1 was like $120. And then one week it went back up to, I guess, its normal price of $180. I'm like, what? I don't understand how it can be that expensive. But then the TLR1S, this is the one with the strobe, actually went on sale for about the same price. So I'll be putting that on the M&P.
Cool. What kind of lumens that put out?
300.
Nice. Very nice. And that's a clip onto your pistol kind of light. It's a pistol light.
Yeah, my pistol or my AR actually, if I wanted to. But it'll go on the pistol so that if things go bump in the night kind of thing, I'll actually have a light right handy. So
right, or you know, more legitimately, you're at the range and you're shooting a low light competition.
Yeah, that too. Sure, whatever. Something like that.
Whatever keeps you out of jail, buddy.
Well, hey, yeah.
No, I kid. I mean, it's perfectly legal to use firearms for self defense in Canada. I'm just riding you there a little bit. So
don't do that. That makes me feel uncomfortable.
Makes you uncomfortable.
Yes. And unless he gives consent, that's illegal. Yeah.
Then I go to jail. Really.
And I'm not giving consent to that. So Matthew, what have you done in guns this week?
I didn't do a whole lot, honestly. I was homesick a couple days from work, so I kind of just laid around, didn't really do much. But I did get online and did some YouTubing and looking at different pictures of guns and stuff. And
what'd you watch on YouTube?
No talking lead.
All That's kinds of stuff. Anyway, I got my eye on a Marlin papoose. You guys ever hear of them?
A papoose?
Yeah, Marlin. It's a 70 Marlin Model 70. It's their takedown. It's a semi-automatic takedown, kind of like the AR-7 or the Henry U.S. Survival Rifle. Ever hear them?
Yeah.
So
I just got a Ruger 10/22 takedown.
Nice.
Love that little thing.
Yep. Well, see, I'm on the other camp. I really like my Marlin 7.95s. I used to have a 10/22, and I went back to 7.95 because I liked it better. So Marlin does make a takedown model of it called the 70. It's a papoose. They've been making them for years, but apparently...
Just pulled it up. That's pretty slick.
Yeah, they're currently out of production. I mean, they're going to be making them again, but they're like way behind schedule. I can't find one anywhere.
You know what it looks like? It looks like they started building the rifle, and then halfway through they said, screw the rest of the stock.
That's right.
Let's just do all barrel.
That is kind of what it looks like. But it's neat because the barrel just unscrews with like a thumb screw, and then you take the barrel off and stick it in this little carry package that floats, so you can take that in your canoe or wherever, and it'll float if you ditch, and you've always got your rifle there. It's waterproof. So anyway. Yeah, I was looking at one of them. I wish I could find one. So I guess I'm calling out all of my Canadian listeners, because my American listeners are useless to me right now because we can't ship guns across the border without a whole bunch of paperwork. But my Canadian listeners, if you know where there's a Marlin papoose for sale, let me know. I want one. So that's my shout out to you guys.
And how much are you willing to pay for said rifle, Matt?
Well, it depends on its condition and what you're offering, I guess. Why? Do you have one or know where I can get one?
No, I don't, actually.
Oh, you got my hopes up there.
No, I would, and if I did, I would just dangle it in front of your nose and not let you have it.
Yes, you would. That sounds exactly like you.
Yes.
So other than that, Caliber Magazine showed up in the mail. So again, a big shout out to Caliber Magazine. They're Canada's, well, I think they're only or new, definitely newest, and I think only like completely firearms dedicated magazine. So it was really cool to get it. They had some pretty cool articles. I'm not all the way through it yet, but it's a good read this month. So just wanted to say thanks again to the fine folks at Calibers, and I believe we're having them on the show in a little while. So
that'd be cool. It is a good magazine. I've only been able to check out one issue so far. The local gun shops around here won't carry it. So
that's too bad.
Yeah,
they mail them out to I don't know if they're mailing it to us because they like us, because I don't know, or maybe one of our listeners got us a subscription. I'm not sure, but Trevor and I each get a copy of it every other month whenever they come out. Owen, sadly, is still out of the loop on this for whatever reason, but we're trying to get him hooked up too.
That's your Christmas present from Brian.
Maybe.
I'm thinking that maybe the Canadian Service Conditions Radio should get one too.
Maybe, yeah. No, I'm pretty sure it was Zeke and Left Hand that signed us up, didn't you guys?
We'll
that sounds like something you'd do.
Credit. Yep, we did that for you, especially since you don't listen to our show.
That's right.
We got to get him to listen somehow.
That's right. Well, I've got to listen now. I mean, now I'm hooked. I mean, well,
similar to your last episode, are we the first, second, or third American podcasters to be on your show?
No, you're not even
close.
See,
I listen to your show.
You're down the list on Americans.
Way down.
Hey, you're the first anonymous host, maybe. I don't know. Left Hand is kind of it's a pseudonym, right? I mean, your parents don't hate you that much, do they?
Right.
Yeah. Why would they hate me? It's a tradition
in
America.
Honestly, Left Hand, I've been meaning to ask you a question.
Okay.
Why did your mama name you Left Hand?
Why did your mama name you Left Hand?
I don't know where you're going with that, so I'm going to move on to upcoming events.
I just want to know where the nickname came from, that's all.
Oh. Where did
the
nickname come from?
Do you want to give the story?
It is a mystery, no.
Okay.
It's going to remain a mystery for now.
Well, Matthew would have had to edit the entire story anyway.
Yeah.
I'd have left it in. All right, upcoming events, t-shirt orders. Get your t-shirt orders in if you want a t-shirt. Send an EMT to slamfireradio@gmail.com.
Send an emergency medical technician.
Yep, EMT is electronic money transfer up here in Canada. Our American listeners apparently can send a PayPal, although
PayPal.
I'm not sure how that's going to work. I think Trevor's going to take care of that, but go ahead and send it to the same email address and we'll sort it out. charity shoot, as you heard us joking about it earlier. Steve Lee from Australia, you just heard him a little while ago. He's coming here to Canada June 28th at the Restigouche Gun Club. We're going to be doing all kinds of fun stuff, just like every year at the charity shoot. We're going to have lots of fun, so come on out, have some fun. SummerSlam 8, it's a Level 3 IPSC match, July 18th to 20th. I don't know why we're promoting that, but we are, because it's an awesome shoot. If you're IPSC qualified or Black Badge qualified, you got to come shoot it. It's awesome.
Now, what's Black Badge?
Black Badge is a Canadian requirement for any shooter who wants to participate in IPSC. It's basically a two-day course where we teach you how to shoot your pistol properly, safely, and then we run you through a quick mini-match so that you know how to actually play the game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's in
Canada.
Do you actually get a Black Badge?
Yes, you actually do.
Are Americans exempt from that?
No, they are not. Actually, I don't know. You might be. I'm not 100% sure on that because we do have international competitors. So,
yeah,
there's got to be a way to get around it, I'm sure.
Hmm.
So maybe prior experience qualifies you. I'm not sure. But, I mean, that's
unless
a good question.
Unless you're Canadian, because then prior experience doesn't matter.
Do YouTube videos count as prior experience?
What's that?
Can we submit our YouTube videos?
Does YouTube videos count as prior?
Not your YouTube videos. Nope.
I've seen some of your YouTube videos. No, don't do that.
At least somebody on this show has seen them.
Funny.
I was sick. I made a mistake when I typed in what I was searching for.
Right. We're not going to ask what you were searching for. I was going to go ahead and promote the Practical Armed Response Academy shooting course, but it's full, so if you wanted to come to that, it's too late. So yeah, Tommy Nelson of the Gun Dudes coming to teach us how to shoot our guns better, I guess. But like I said, it's full. If you still want to come, email us. We'll get your name on the list, and if somebody drops off, then we can put you on. The multi-gun, Trevor organizes a multi-gun or a three-gun event every year. This year it's August 16th and 17th. It's going to be 12 stages, and if it's anything like last year's, it's going to be awesome, so you got to come out to that. Other than that, Mike Roast Contest, we still haven't come up with a contest, so basically we're going to give these prizes out at some point if we come up with a contest, and if we don't, then they'll be given out at the three-gun or charity shoot, I would say. That would make more sense. All right, well, let's move on to some news then, guys. We've got an interesting one this week. Apparently, warning shots do work. So, vindication for the warning shot McClatchy. What do you guys think? Warning shots, yeah, good?
No. Our vice president thinks they're awesome.
Yeah, just fire that double barrel shotgun right through that door.
Yeah, and everybody who's followed his advice so far has gone to jail.
Yep. So this article is titled, Prairie Justice, Rifle-Toting Homeowner Puts New Self-Defense Laws to the Test. And basically what happened was a 72-year-old man who lives out in Saskatoon, which is in Saskatchewan, and no, not all of our cities have weird names like that, you guys. But some guy showed up on his backyard and threw a 40-pound patio brick through his window and was demanding his keys. So the homeowner grabbed his rifle and fired a couple shots over his head before the guy finally realized he didn't want to get his head caved in by a 30-06 and took off running. So the cool thing is the homeowner hasn't been charged. And, I mean, that's strange for Canada because in Canada, basically, if you do that, you go to jail and the good and the bad guy gets off. But you know, we got
all
our
the
laws
more reason not
here.
To do a warning shot.
That's yeah. right. But I mean, had he shot the guy, he definitely would have gone to jail. I mean, it's our self-defense laws are pretty ridiculous. Anyway, it's
well,
really,
even here with warning shots, you will lose your court case because in the United States, if you're going to use a firearm in self-defense, you have to be in fear of your life.
Like that's
your
right.
Your life is about to be taken. Well, if you're going to fire a warning shot, they're going to argue, the lawyer across the table from you is going to say, okay, you must not have really been in fear for your life because if you were, you probably would have shot that person instead of a warning shot. And then,
right.
So.
Yeah, we've heard that before too, and we do fully agree with it here, although I pretend that I don't. the thing is, though,
I'm convinced.
This guy who lives in Saskatoon, pretty sure lives in the middle of nowhere. So his warning shot didn't endanger anybody else. And this time, anyway, it did work. The guy was drunk. The guy who was accosting him, who was trying to break into his house, was drunk. And so I guess the old guy kind of, you know, bless his heart, kind of didn't want to kill the guy over, you know, his patio window. Although, I mean, that's perfectly justified, I would imagine, if he's trying to break in and you know, potentially harm you. But, you know, he fired a couple warning shots and the guy, you know, smartened up and took off. It's just... In Canada, that's not normally how it goes. Normally, the homeowner gets charged, but recently we did have some new self-defense laws come into play that, you know, they're protecting him right now. So
I got a question. This guy, you said, lives in Saskatoon?
Yeah.
And you said that's a pretty remote area of your country?
Right.
So how did anybody know that he shot the damn thing to begin with unless the person that was trying to accost him went and told on him?
Well, the thing is, his wife called 911 while he was still breaking into the house.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So they woke up to the sound of breaking glass. He grabbed his rifle. She called 911, and then.
So it's not 911A.
Not no, just 911. That's it. Yeah.
Okay.
911 use guys.
Use guys. Cool. So anyway, Section 34 of the Criminal Code of Canada now covers use of force in the defense of a person, and Section 35 does the same for defense of property. So it's really cool. The operative word, unfortunately, though, is reasonable. You got to use reasonable force. So the reasonable force here was muzzle blast, not bullet, I guess. I don't know.
So here's a suggestion for all those people who know they're going to fire a warning shot, is make your first shot a dummy round.
That's not a bad idea, except that we still don't think warning shots are a great idea. I would rather
I think
not.
It's a stupid idea, but at the same time, if you want to beat the rap, make your first shot a dummy round. Yep. Here's your warning shot.
But what if your first shot needs to be live?
Yeah.
Well, that's your own stupidity for wanting to do a warning shot then.
So
I'm just trying to help these jack wagons who want to do a warning shot.
If you're stupid, put a dummy round as your first round in your magazine.
Well, if you're stupid, you're going to do a warning shot.
Oh, hey.
We're back.
Warning shot.
Yeah, again, these guys, they hate me. They're making me edit this show. I'm sorry. I don't listen, I guess. And so they thought, well, let's screw with Matt and make him do all kinds of bad stuff with the editing.
Trevor told us to.
Actually, Matt, I'm pretty sure it's because Owen and Trevor have abandoned you and left you to do the show by yourself.
Yeah, let's blame it on them.
Actually, we'll be honest. Owen and Trevor paid us to do this.
That sounds about right.
I use these
little post-it notes to give me these notes as to where I've got to edit. I'm on my second note. I've never done this before, ever. You know how much editing I'm doing tonight.
So, like the lady last time thought she was the first lady, then no, it was the second, then it was the third.
Right.
We're actually the first people that you've had to go to two notes on.
There you go. You are now notorious.
That's awesome.
Or notarized, one or the other. I get those words mixed up
a
lot.
Now, don't you feel real guilty because I just described something that happened in your show, meaning that I listen?
Not a bit. You should listen to my show. It's awesome. I kid. No, I'm going to start listening to you guys, even if it kills me, because it probably will.
Seek left hand, I listen to your show.
You even have a hat.
Yeah.
I bet you're wearing your hat right now, aren't you?
Hey, if I got a hat, I'd listen.
Forgot.
You've been wearing your hat to competitions?
No.
Hey, speaking of your show, let's talk about it real quick. You guys are the hosts of Talking Lead, as I understand, or is it Talking Lead? I always
talking
get those.
Lead. Yeah, lead. Okay. That. Yeah.
So the bullets they'd be
we
talking
do
to
about
you?
Firearms and firearms related subject matter. Yes. Yes. Right. So lead.
Lead
comes. Well, pretend that I'm somebody who's never heard of your show before. That's not a stretch, now is it? And tell us a little bit about your show, you know, what you talk about, and just real quickly, I guess, how it got started.
How it got started? Well, we have been friends for about 10, 12 years now, and Left Hand was in firearms a lot longer than me. I was always into them. I always liked them. I, you know, hunted as a kid and had, you know, a handgun when I got out of college for home protection, but never really got into it. And Left Hand tried to get me into it a few years back. I was in a situation, ex-wife, that did not like firearms, so I wasn't allowed to have them.
Forbid it.
Yeah, so I wasn't able to get into them when he tried to get me into them. Well, recently, in the last couple of years, I have gotten back into them. My lovely wife is awesome, and she likes firearms also. So anyways.
I never gave up on him because I would always call him when I'd get something new or was,
yeah.
And was I went to the range
I would
or something.
Just kind of ignore it because I'd get depressed. And, you know, but anyways.
So I kept at him. I kept nagging, finally.
So when I started getting back into it, one of the ways I was getting back into it was listening to podcasts. And, you know, there was a lot of them I was listening to that I liked. Some of them I listened to, they were like, eh. I was like, man, you know, there could be a benefit to a good quality show podcast. Like you guys'.
Wait, you said quality, didn't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. He didn't say good quality.
Yeah, he didn't say good quality. That's right. Okay, you're off the hook.
Yeah. So we talked one day when I was coming back from an hour and a half drive, and we talked the entire time about guns. And so, you know, we were
we
like,
should record this. That's kind of how ours got started.
We said, hey, let's do something with guns. Let's do a gun store. We're like, nah, it's too much government red tape. And I said, well, let's do a gun podcast. And of course, Left Hand's reaction was, what the bleep is a podcast? So we went to a Mexican radio station that the company I work for owns, and we recorded our first show as a hobby. And
almost 1 year ago.
Almost one. Next week will be our 1 year anniversary.
We're going to have our 1 year anniversary next week.
Kind of like Steve Lee. You guys aren't going to do the same thing he did, are you?
Yeah, we're going to have a dingo neck in the
well,
bed.
Not to want to. We're going to pay people to come in and do that.
Not if you two want to stay married.
I'm not married. That's the great thing about me.
Now, to your question on how we got so big so quick, we have no flipping clue.
No. We don't understand. We haven't figured that one out yet.
We're having fun.
We've been told that it's like, you know, your best buddies sitting around the campfire or the, you know, the living room just shooting the crap, talking about guns and all things related.
Yep.
So we're laid back. You know, we don't try to script anything. Everything. I mean, we talk about things and have a somewhat set, you know.
We'll have like a vague order, outline.
Vague outline, but we just kind of just flow from the hip, as you can tell.
Cool. And other places.
Well, that's good. I mean, if your show is anything like tonight's show, sounds like it would be cool.
The whole purpose of our show is, you know, we're relatively newbies in the firearms world industry, and what we're trying to do is bring our listeners along on our journey with us as we enrich our knowledge of firearms and as we go and to all these different shows and bring the people in. So we don't claim to be the experts, but we'll bring the experts in to talk about it.
Yeah,
I think
that's cool.
A lot of people like about us is, you know, we're not experts, and we never have claimed to be. And it's quite the opposite of that. It was we make people understand that, look, guys, we don't know this stuff. Just like when you were asking me velocity of the three, you know, it's not something that you know, I'm keen on or Zeke's keen on, but
I just figured where you were building a rifle, you'd kind of be familiar with its qualities. But I'm mistaken.
That's why I'm building.
That's
a
why
rifle.
We have experts come help us.
Experts are to come in and help us and educate us on it. It'll be our first build. So you know, it's exciting.
Okay. So, well, you just mentioned that you guys are fairly new to the sport or to firearms, I guess.
Well,
you can't be that new to it. I mean, you're American, right? Aren't you born with a gun in your hand?
Exactly. I was born in Texas. He was born in Tennessee. So, yeah, we pretty much come out of the womb with a 22.
Right.
So you guys have been shooting your whole life then, basically.
Yeah. Guns and being around and shooting. But as far as getting into the technicality, the, you know, the self-defense aspect of it.
The total immersion into firearms. We're new at that part.
Right.
Yeah.
It's fun, though, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. That's not even the adjective that I would use.
If you would have asked, well, Left Hand maybe 6 years ago, but if you would have asked me 2 years ago about muzzle velocity, I would have been like, yeah, I killed a rabbit with a 22 once, and, you know, I had a little Lorsen 380 in my night table. That was my extent of gun knowledge back then.
Gotcha. So speaking of killing rabbits with a 22, do you guys, either of you guys hunt?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah?
Yes.
What do you hunt?
I have been banging my head against a wall trying to get a buck this year. I have not even seen a deer.
Is season still open for you?
Yeah, it's open
until
January.
What, 7th?
Yeah, something like that. First couple weeks in January, I think.
Yeah, something like that. But a little bit of everything. You know, it's not that I'm a diehard hunter.
Right.
You know, I don't just live and breathe to go out and hunt.
Women.
Like women, yes, I do.
No, I hunt women.
Oh.
Not with guns, though. Well,
you don't. Type of gun. Married.
I don't. You
I'm
do.
Not, I'm not married. So
boys,
I
boys, focus, focus.
I live very curious.
Yeah, so, but yeah, I mean, when the opportunity arises and we're not doing other stuff, then we enjoy going on a hunt. Yeah.
Sure. What you said you're hunting deer. What's your firearm of choice for deer hunting this year?
Right now I'm using the Remington 700 7mm Rem Mag.
Okay.
And I think I'm going to start taking my 30-30, my Marlin 30-30 lever action out there.
Very nice. Yeah.
But those are... cool thing about Tennessee, I heard one morning when I was out, and I'm in a ground blind because I am a big guy. And
you don't trust a tree.
There's not many tree stands that'll hold me.
Right.
But I had my Glock 30 on me, and cool thing about Tennessee, you can hunt with a handgun.
That was my next question. I'm glad you jumped ahead there.
Yeah, I'm sitting there going, okay, if this deer walks right by my stand, I'm just pulling my Glock out and taking it out. So
that would be awesome.
Yeah.
I prefer the 270.
270 is a great caliber.
Yeah. That's my choice. I took down an 8-pointer 3 years ago with it. I was about 125 out with it.
Nice. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Decent range. What's the terrain like in your area?
Hilly.
Yeah. So you don't fairly forested in or fairly open?
Yeah.
Fairly forested in.
Okay. So yeah, it's kind of like around here. You don't really get the chance like out in the prairies for these super long shots. I mean, anything's going to be inside of 200 yards for the most part.
Yep.
Yeah. Because you're usually, at that point, if you do have that kind of a shot, you're usually somebody else's land.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose you guys have a lot of, well, you guys don't have what's called crown land down there. I guess it would be called public land?
We have some public
land. We do have some public land that you can hunt on, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool.
But now, so many people around here hunt that, I mean, public land's really not that fun because there's so much hunting pressure that you can't you can't tell where the deer movement is. It's kind
of
crazy.
And you get a bunch of jack wagons that are just rude and no etiquette whatsoever.
Yep.
Right. Wait, jack wagon. That's jogging my memory. That's you guys invented that, right?
We have a segment called it, but we stole the term from Arlie Ermey. Well, we borrowed it.
Jack wagon.
I have listened to your show before. Jack wagon thing. Wow. It was like about a year ago, so it must have been one of your earlier ones. I forget who you were calling a jack wagon, but I thought it was hilarious. I think it actually was Biden talking about the shotguns.
Yep, he was on the jack wagon train.
he's a member.
So hey, I am a listener. Well, I listened once.
Well, I apologize for all the horrible things we said when the internet went out.
All right, one real quick question about your 270. What platform is that?
Talking about what model?
Oh, yeah, what kind of rifle?
Remington.
Oh, another Remington, huh? You guys like your Remington 700s then?
Yeah, well, actually, I inherited it from my father.
Oh,
so it's kind of got sentimental value. He took down a nice 12-pointer with it probably about 8-9 years ago.
Cool. Now, do either of you shoot competitively?
We have been talking about it for a year.
And you haven't done it yet?
Almost every show.
Yeah.
You guys should come up to the charity shoot. We're going to do a real quick competition in the afternoon with handguns. You'd come up here and show us Canadians how to shoot.
Heck yeah.
No.
Are we going to be comic relief? Is that the point?
I don't know. I don't know where we were going to go with that. I just figured I'd let you guys run with it.
Well, we appreciate the invite.
Guys, what kind of shooting competitions are available in the Tennessee area?
You've got IDPA, IPSC, what's the other one?
USPSA. It's basically IPSC, but for Americans.
Yeah, right. we've got the cowboy action shooting. Pretty much everything here. You got three gun,
shotgun, skeet shooting.
Yeah, pretty much every shooting competition you can think of, we've got it in Tennessee.
Sweet.
Do you guys have like long range rifle and stuff too?
Yeah. We do. I've heard of one that's out in West Tennessee.
I mean, Sean,
it's probably because it's flatter. Sean did say
one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And if it's not, then you know we can just travel, cross straight lines and find one.
And there's a couple of, I don't know about competition wise, but there's a couple of ranges that we've been to that have like a 500 yard range, that you could use, but nothing really past that I've seen.
I don't know, the one in Woodbury's
It's pretty long.
I thought they had 1,000, but I don't know.
I'm sure they could. I mean, there's plenty.
But yeah, well, I mean, we've pretty much got everything here. We just, you know, it's tough for us to work that in with everything else that we're doing with the show. You know, we do the podcast, we do the YouTube videos, we travel around. Several charities that we work close with, the Seal Legacy Foundation. I don't know if you guys have heard of that foundation before. The Rescue Ranch, we're working with them. Hawks Locks for Kids is another charity that we work real close with. We're growing our hair out.
So, yeah, we're getting shaggy hair.
I've got a nice ponytail going right now.
Yeah, AJ Hawk from the Green Bay Packers linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
He has a foundation called Hawks Locks for Kids, and it's kind of like the Hawks or like the Locks for Love, where you cut your hair and they right. make wigs for kids that have lost their hair for any yep. number of reasons.
Well,
and
that's cool.
So we committed to do a hair growing fundraiser, and we're doing that. So any of your listeners that would like to grow their hair with us, send us an email with before and after pics at talkinglead@gmail.com. And they can join us.
I think Trevor be in on that. Oh, wait. He's going
bald. Beard hair does not count.
I guess I'm out, too. Oh, well. Cool. Well, sounds like your show is pretty cool. I should start listening.
We try.
Yeah.
We're not going to twist your arm. You know, that's another great thing about us is if you don't listen to us, we don't care.
You know? What's another Canuck anyway?
But it's for some.
Yep.
Hey, Canada is our it's our second largest country that listens to us. So.
That's
and
cool.
Ironically enough, with Steve Leon, our third largest is Australia. And
that
our first
is really cool.
And our first, yeah, our first is Egypt. For some, we had one weekend on Facebook where we had like 2,000 people from Egypt start following us.
That's weird.
Cairo, and we're like, oh, yeah. Cool.
Yeah, yeah, I gotta say your Facebook likes is just gaudy. It's just terrible.
It makes me mad.
Yeah, we're close to 30,000.
Yep, it's growing fast.
How did you guys do that?
8 months in less than eight.
Doggone it, people like us.
No, seriously, how did you do that?
This is what Left Hand said earlier. It's like a bunch of guys sitting in a cabin shooting the breeze about guns. We're just ourselves. Our show is like that. When people come on, and it's funny because, like, especially when people that come to us and we interview them live, they're kind of apprehensive at first.
Think we've got an agenda.
Yeah, you know? and eventually they see, no, we just want to sit around and talk about guns.
Once we start talking, they're like, oh.
And we have people that aren't gun people that come on the show, too. They're pro-gun. You got to be pro-gun to come on the show.
Right.
But, like, we have Clay Greenfield. He's a NASCAR race truck driver. He's been on the show.
Yeah. Actually, we sponsored his truck.
Yeah. Yeah. We were actually in it.
Yeah. Trevor was telling me about that. That's pretty cool.
Then we had Marcus Fox, country music artist. He came on. And, you know, it's kind
Hickok
of like.
Hickok 45 coming on.
Hey, we had Hickok. Oh, no, we didn't. We had that on the other show that we were on. We got to get him back on then.
And you asked, you know, how did we do that? I mean, Hickok was really kind of our springboard.
Yeah.
I mean, we got to give him props.
Oh, yeah.
He really, once we hooked in with him and had him on our show, I mean, that's really when things started just going nuts. Yeah.
It was one of those things where the first three episodes, we were hitting like 20, 30 downloads an episode, and we were like, yeah, people listen. And Hickok came on, and we had 4,500 downloads within 2 days.
Nice.
And we're like, whoa, what is this? And even then, we were like, well, this is kind of cool. And we didn't know how the podcast thing worked, like ratings and everything. And we went to NRA last May, and we're walking down the aisles.
That was our proving ground.
Yeah, people were stopping us saying, hey, great show. We love what you do. And we're like,
we turn around and look behind us
like, who are they talking to? It was weird.
Yeah.
That show actually helped us get some chops, too, because that's when we did our first YouTube kind of stuff.
Yeah,
doing the interviews with all the different manufacturers and the celebrities. That's where we met the Gunny.
Arlie.
Mm-hmm. Arlie, who does our intro to the Jack Wagon Train. And, you know, some other people. And that's when we started developing our relationships and things really started growing and finding some sponsors here and there. And yeah.
So it's like anything else then, networking. It's about who you know and, you know, being able to get involved with the community. And then, you know, the more you're involved, the more people are paying attention to you. And, of course, the faster you grow.
And we try to make it fun. I mean, that's the biggest thing. We don't take ourselves seriously at all.
And we try to keep politics out of our show.
Yeah,
also.
That's another thing. The only politics we talk about is Second Amendment. That's it. Pro-gun.
Very good.
We both know people that are liberal and conservative and everything, and they have arsenals. So we kind of don't want to alienate anybody as long as they're pro-gun, because especially right now with all the debates going on down here.
Yep.
We all need to stick together no matter what the rest of your political ideals are. Argue that stuff later. Right. It's on the Second Amendment. So.
Yep. Very good. All right. Well, I think with that, we're going to roll us into some listener feedback, and we've got a fair bit tonight. I guess I'll go ahead with the first one, and Brian, maybe I'll get you to cut in on a couple here, seeing as you have the notes. This first one comes to us from Karas. And he says, hello, gents, it's Karas again, and it's pronounced Karas. There, see, I screwed it up right off the bat, Karas. So we made fun of him, not really made fun of him. We didn't know how to pronounce his name last week, so apparently it's Karas. So he continues on, but that's okay. It's not as if it's obvious the way my name is spelt. I just, as you called it, wasted another 90 minutes of my life. However, let's face it, I do waste more time in a week doing far more shameful things.
His name right hand?
We do.
It might be right hand. I don't know. I loved listening to the interview with Trevor's friend. She seemed like a sweetheart, and her head is definitely in the right place. I agree she needs a far better carry gun than a Derringer, but still...
Yes, or a .380.
It's far better than my self-defense method, which includes producing a foul odor and changing the back of my Tommy Hilfigers from blue to brown.
Oh, my God.
But I do try to keep a positive attitude and think of the money I can save. Instead of spending a ton in a Glock, I just have to buy some Tide, and Tide is non-restricted.
You know what? He could use peanut butter.
This is a listener feedback?
This is listener feedback.
That's awesome.
Have you guys ever seen the movie Training Day?
Yes.
You remember the peanut butter reference?
I don't.
Okay, it's the bigwigs are sitting in the restaurant, and what's the actor's name?
Denzel Washington.
Yeah. And the other dude walk in there, and they're sitting around talking, and he's talking about this case that this guy got, you know, pleaded insanity on, got, what's the word when you're in court?
Acquitted.
Basically, they ruled he was insane, but he's like talking about putting Jif between his butt crack, and he reached down to the court and pulled a handful of it out and started licking it. So I didn't think of that.
What's wrong with that?
It's a great way to prove you're insane.
Yeah.
Anyway, Curious continues on here. He says, Slamfire Radio has a great balance between entertainment and information, except I still haven't heard how you get that big bastard of a moose out of the woods after you hunt it.
Would they quit dogging me like that? Jeez.
I can't imagine dragging it out on the back of my daughter's radio flyer being a very efficient way to do so, but I guess that's what Google is for. Anyway, I have completely squirreled this one. I was hoping for a big black shirt, that is. You dirty boys, he says. Thanks a bunch, gents. Karas. So, well, Karas, thank you for giving us an R rating on tonight's show.
I thought we already did that.
How you get a moose out of the woods? Well, hopefully you shoot it on the road or hit it with your truck.
Or you're on a four-wheeler.
Yeah, four-wheelers actually come in really handy. And a lot of guys who are way out in the woods, if you didn't Google it, they quarter it out in the woods and haul it out in backpacks and stuff if they have to. But, yeah, no, it's completely possible. Most people don't venture too far off the beaten path when hunting moose. So, yeah. All right. So, Brian, did you catch up there with the
email? No, I'm good. Yes, I'll do Luke's.
Sure, go for it.
Okay, from Luke. He found an AR-180B for sale with two mags and 500 rounds of ammo, 200 rounds down the pipe, and he's asking if that's a good deal. For 1500, sorry.
Right.
I'm thinking that's a good price for an AR-180B.
It is. Now, for our American listeners who may or may not know what an AR-180B is, it's... Yeah, it's an AR-15 lookalike. It's an earlier rendition of the AR-15.
It came out by Armalite after the AR-15.
Would make sense because AR-18 was actually what it was based on, wasn't it? And 18 would come after 15.
That's right. And as I understand the history on it, the Armalite came out with it after the 15 and tried to market it to the U.S. military because it was cheaper to make than the AR-15. And the Americans said, yeah, but it's not enough of a difference. So we're just going to stick with the 15 that we've already bought a million of by then. So,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, the 180B, this version of it here, is a non-restricted rifle in Canada, which is really cool because the AR-15 is a restricted rifle, which means we can only shoot it at certified gun ranges,
so firing
ranges.
So what's the difference?
It didn't make the list. Is what it came down to.
They basically went
logical.
Yeah, they basically went through the readers or the gun digest and pointed out the scary looking guns, and this one must not have been featured that year, so
it's hilarious.
It escaped the restriction. So, the 180B comes with an 18.5-inch barrel. The 180 without the B on the end is a regular 18-inch barrel, so that one would be restricted. But 18.5-inch makes it a non-restricted. It was basically Canada made, as I understand it.
Yeah, that's right. You guys have to have 18-inch barrels.
18.5, yeah, for our semi-autos.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway,
to be non-restricted, but I mean, we don't have to pay a tax stamp to have one that's shorter.
That's
you
right.
Just can't. Shoot it outside of a range.
That's... Yeah, my AR used to have a 11.5-inch barrel on it, and that was, you know, no different from the current 16.5-inch barrel that I have on it now. Like, it makes no difference in the status of its
these gun laws. I mean, even in Canada, there's
yeah, they don't make any sense. They're real silly,
completely nonsense.
Yeah. We've made this point a lot actually on Modern Rifleman Radio, where the laws in the States and the laws in Canada are both different. They're trying to do the same thing, but neither one of them accomplishes it. It's just random laws that people have come up with because they think it's going to do something. It does nothing.
Yeah, it's theater security, as I think believe they call that.
Yeah. The commonality between the stupid gun laws in the United States and the stupid gun laws in Australia and the stupid gun laws in Canada is that they're stupid.
Yeah, they really are. They don't make any sense. They don't make anybody safer at all. In fact, they make people less safe.
Absolutely.
Yeah, amen. Yeah. Amen. We put a post on our Facebook. This is yesterday, I think it was, where Harvard completed a study about, I mean, you can go read it, but basically what they're saying is, you know, the gun laws and the gun restrictions and all that, there's no proof one way or the other that they make things safer or they don't make things safer. You know, they make things less safe.
But left hand, I mean, honestly, it's Harvard. They're obviously
Harvard.
Very, no, I mean, very actually, biased as being a pro-gun organization.
Wait a minute.
In this case, they actually were. You know, this was actually leaning towards the pro-gun. You know,
it's very cool to see somebody who you would think would normally have an anti-gun bias come out with something so pro-gun, and that's what happens when you look at the facts. The facts, the statistics, they don't lie. I know people say you can make statistics say anything, but if you read them right, you can't. They just say the truth.
The ones that drive me nuts are the ones that say, oh, well, gun violence or gun murders are down in the states that have stricter gun laws.
Well, of course they are. There's stricter gun laws, but overall murders are up.
Right. And violent crimes go up exponentially.
That's right.
And you also got to look into that. they were showing that depending on the type of crime and what it is, a lot of jurisdictions didn't count certain gun violent crimes because it didn't meet certain criteria, so it didn't even fall into their stats, so
that's
thus
right.
It would make it drop as well.
Yep.
Messing with the stats.
You're right. Anyway, I've got an update from Luke. He actually bought the AR-180B, so good job, Luke. Let us know how it shoots. Send us pictures. I've always wanted one, so if you ever decide to sell it, let me know.
We actually had some listener feedback that tied in Brian.
Oh, yeah?
We have listeners that listen to you guys.
That's funny.
And it was kind of my fault, the reason he gave this feedback. But, you know, I do have ADD. I'm a little scatterbrained when it comes to stuff. And he won a contest about a month ago, and I still have yet to ship his stuff out. But it's ready to go, and it's shipping tomorrow morning.
Sure it is.
I will say you guys are big on the contests, not so great with the release of the prizes.
I have to start saying, you know, expect 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah exactly.
Because he said that he knows, or he says he completely understands mailing to Wisconsin is almost as difficult as mailing a hat to Canada.
Good for him.
Good point.
Yeah.
All right. This next email comes to us from Chris. He writes, "Hi, all. Do you have an update on the Daniel Bolofsky case against the Ontario CFO? Sorry, Chris, we don't. But when we do, you'll be the first to know because we'll have Dan back on the show and he'll fill us in all about it." And he continues on, "And now, a really neat gun story. I was on." Now, I have to premise this with, I haven't actually read this email yet, so this is the first time I'm reading it too, so I hope it's completely appropriate. Let's see what happens. "I was on my way to buy myself a birthday present and stopped in at one of my favorite gun stores. I was looking for a shotgun, but something on the previously enjoyed rack caught my eye.
It was previously enjoyed. That's awesome.
It was a black, scoped, made by Savage, and chambered in 17 HMR. I'd been on the lookout for a 17 HMR ever since last May when I lost a gunfight with a muskrat." Huh, I didn't know muskrats got into gunfights, but okay. "I inquired about the price, $275. And then came the big question, what's wrong with it? The response was, nothing, it just needs a good home. Well, I was sold. I have a big soft spot for needy guns. While writing up the receipt, I got the rest of the story." Usually how it goes. "The previous owner passed away suddenly, and his wife had brought the 17 HMR and another firearm that was brand new in box to be sold. I don't know what the new firearm was, but the 17 HMR had barely enough rounds put through it to sight in the scope. I have only put 25 rounds through it, and it works great. The adjustable AccuTrigger that Savage features takes some getting used to, but when it's dialed down to super light trigger pull, the thing is dead-on accurate and easy to shoot. The best part was that I was planning to spend $800 on a new shotgun, and instead saved a bunch of money and crossed one more gun off my wish list. Hopefully the previous owner knows how happy I am, and it does have a good home. It lives in my cedar-lined gun cabinet with the right-hand rifle rest." I think he means left-hand rifle rest. Ha ha. Uh-huh. "Except when the muskrats that live on our farm slough insist on having a gunfight. Until next time, Chris, freezing in Calgary." Well, that is a good gun story. I always like it when you go to the gun store and you find a gun that needs
success.
A good home.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very
good for
cool.
him.
Yeah, 17 HMRs are neat rifles. Trevor's had one. I've wanted one, but I can't.
Never
I can't,
shot one of those.
I can't justify the extra cost for the money or for the ammo. I've got a 223, so if you got a 223, what do you need a 17 for? Trevor would argue because you don't have a 17, and I would say that's probably a good point. So Brian, want to bring us
Christmas coming up?
Yeah, absolutely. And I do want to mention that you didn't save a bunch of money. I mean, I know you went in there planning to spend $800, but you didn't save a bunch of money. You actually just spent less money. So you still spent money. I'm just saying.
Good point.
Yeah, and he still doesn't have a shotgun. He's $270.
He's still going to have to go buy a shotgun.
You still got to get a shotgun, man.
But he crossed one off his bucket list.
That's true. Yeah.
That's an accomplishment. So let's give him a pat on the back or whatever you guys do in Canada.
Right.
And...
I don't know what we do in Canada.
I don't know.
It depends. Yeah.
We do a paddle
back.
We're
a very regional country. Different places do different things. Yeah. Alrighty.
Bring us this next one from Bolivar.
It's from me.
It's
Hooray,
from you. Why don't you read your email to the show?
I think.
Did
that's
you
very
seriously
true.
Write your own email back?
Well,
email back?
No,
wow.
He didn't know he was going to be on the show.
All right, Zeke, back away from the mic.
Yeah, I wasn't planning to be here. But anyway, okay. This is more about the Ford Assist on AR-15 rifles. Owen, I sit corrected. I checked with a bunch of my friends who are in the Canadian Forces, and yes, you are correct. The standard procedure for the CF is to apply the Ford Assist whenever they load a magazine. I was incorrect. I feel shame.
As you should.
I do. I'm all. I was in tears for a day after I heard this.
Sounds about right.
A caution though. There has been an incident where one of the guys in the CF was a little over aggressive with the forward assist and actually broke the sheared off the roll pin and jammed the forward assist against his bolt.
That's extremely aggressive.
Did he break his hand doing it?
I know. I'm guessing that he was some kind of weightlifter guy, and he crushed it. So
I'm safe bolt, then, basically.
Yeah, his bolt was jammed forward and couldn't be retracted at all. There was a live round in the chamber. I don't know what they did to get it fixed, but
just pull the trigger. with a string from behind a bunker.
It's not that simple with the
Mythbuster style.
It was a challenge. So, anyway, the lesson for that is if you are going to use a forward assist, just press it. You don't have to hammer it.
I've never used a forward assist.
Well, yeah. You should have listened to last week's show, or the 2 weeks show ago. That's why we explained then why we do.
Yep. Yeah, they did talk about it. Now, Matthew, in your case, I'm pretty sure with your thin little arms, you couldn't break it if you tried.
I think I'm fine. Yeah, I'm not going to be breaking it.
And actually, Matt, I don't know if you've ever tried it, but there is a flat spot on the bolt carrier for an AR, and you can do the same thing just with your thumb, pressing on the bolt carrier.
Yep, I could do that, or I could use the forward assist for what it was designed for.
There you go. Either one. Now, as for Trevor, I'm still going to assume whatever his opinion is wrong.
Right.
Just because that's based on my experience.
It's Trevor.
Yeah.
He's wrong.
It's fun that way. Best to assume Trevor's wrong. And, so and that's for me. That's it. That one's done.
So obviously, you talking lead guys, you've decided that the forward
talking lead.
Close enough, right? You guys don't use the forward assist then at all on an AR.
No,
because
you guys
don't ever press check.
You guys never press check your rifles to make sure a round is actually in the chamber.
I don't need the forward assist for that.
Okay,
we have an innate sense that there is a bullet in the chamber every time.
No, what if your mag isn't seated properly?
Oh, our mag is always
mofo
properly
in the
seated.
Bottom.
All right,
I hit it
good
hard
enough.
It is forward assist.
You guys fight on the other side of the room for me, okay?
No, we're kidding. We do. I have press check, but I've never had to use the forward assist.
Right. Yeah. No, usually you're right. The bolt, the spring is strong enough. It will close the bolt properly, no problem. But I just feel a little bit more confident whenever I press that forward assist and feel it not move, and I know the bolt is seated perfectly. So anyway,
and,
that's just
and
me.
I did have to use the forward assist the one time I did a press check.
Mm-hmm.
But since I had to use the forward assist, I stopped using press checks. So I just
right. Yeah, I mean, there's other ways to make sure you have a round in the chamber. And you described a way where you, or it wasn't you, I think it was Smack Daddy. You put the mag in. You know what side the round is on. You put the mag in. You chamber it. You pull the mag back out and verify that you now have one last round in the mag because it's on the other side. And that's a way to do it as well. So I mean, there's no wrong way here, I don't think. Maybe we are wrong. Maybe an expert could write in and let us know if we are wrong, but we're doing what we're doing now and it seems to be working for now. So until it stops working, I'm going to carry
on
with it.
Right up until you break your rifle.
A lot quicker and easier.
Hmm? What's that?
What'd you say?
I think the press check is a lot simpler and easier, quicker and easier.
Yeah. You just pull back very gently
back in and
yep.
I wouldn't want to take my mag out if I'm in a
If it's a gunfight, you don't do a press check. You put the mag in, close the bolt, and continue firing. But if this is for administration load at the beginning of the day, you put your magazine in. You want to make sure your rifle's set up and ready to go before the competition begins, before the fighting begins, whatever, right? So this is kind of something that you do not during a fight, but before you get to the fight or the competition.
You could always hand load that first round, too.
You could.
Just saying.
Yeah,
because that would be quick.
Yeah.
Just saying. Hey, you're looking for options. Looking for options. I'm throwing them out there.
One more email.
You could maybe give the gun to somebody else to load, too. And
sure.
I don't know.
Like loading your parachute for you? Somebody else?
Have your listener feedback segments ever taken this long before?
Oh, yes. No, they do regularly, actually. Oh, okay. We don't mind because we like it. We love our listeners, and we like it when they write in, so we like to give them lots of attention.
We love your listeners, too. You should listen to our www.talkinglead.com.
Got it in.
Yeah, you know what? I'm down with that. I'm okay with people listening to Talking Lead.
Sure.
I've been listening since the first episode, so everyone else should.
Our listeners listen to you guys.
But don't go back and listen to the first episode, please.
Maybe I didn't catch the first episode.
I'm going to do that intentionally now.
It's not available right now anyway.
That was the one where we said like absolutely 5 million times in the whole thing. It was like our nervous tick.
Yeah, I say awesome a lot, so,
we do that, too.
Yeah. People get over
it.
Give
me that. You're done, dude. Yeah. Give me that.
Awesome.
I'm taking his toys away from
you. All right, last email comes to us from Adriel. He writes, I've been a listener to the show since it began, and I'm very sorry. And I was wondering if you had thought of doing a show on which IPSC pistols you would view as the best cheap options and best money is no object options. We've got somewhat different options and prices compared to the U.S., and maybe some of the other listeners would love to hear about which handguns you choose for the different classes and why. And that comes to us from Adriel in Edmonton. Well, Adriel, we have talked IPSC in the past, but I don't think we've covered what we feel would be our best budget and our best money is no object pistols. So that is a good idea for a topic, and next time we have an IPSC expert on, maybe we'll talk about that. I like that idea. Basically, because Trevor's here, I'm going to recommend 1911s across the board.
Well, which is what he's shooting, so yeah.
2011, right?
No, it's a 1911.
Yeah,
don't let
it
him
is.
Fool
it's
you.
Basically a 1911. Yeah, if I can jump in on this, Matt, I think probably your SR9 is...
That's the best budget one right there. That
would be the best budget one.
Yep.
And as far as the best, there is no limit. Well, there is no limit.
Yeah, get whatever you want. I mean, we'll talk about each class in detail, I think, in another show and actually get into that. We've only got about 2 minutes left here, though, so I'm going to wrap up with some shout-outs.
Time limit?
We got a time limit because we're actually on an actual outdoor radio web network something or other.
Oh, was that a jab?
No, it wasn't a jab, actually, but I'm going to get into that. I was actually me trying to promote that, but I completely screwed it up because I didn't read it right, so...
First of all, our
shout-outs comes to us from Jeff Reese. Thanks for the Christmas gift. He hates the tape. I don't know what Trevor's talking about there, but it's something. So whatever, Jeff, you got your shout-out. So that's it for shout-outs. Like I was just saying a second ago, we are a member of the Reno Viola Outdoor Web Radio Network. And you can find that at renoviolaoutdoors.com. And it's basically an online radio station. You just sign in whenever you... Or you don't even have to sign in. Just go to the website, click Listen Live. And you can listen on your phone, on your iPhone, on iTunes, on the website, wherever. And it's all Canadian content so far, I believe. And it's all about outdoors. Actually, it's not all Canadian content because they have an aviation show that's based out of the States, which is really cool. I listen to that one every now and then. Basically, the host is learning how to fly an airplane and basically taking you along for the ride to kind of learn how to fly an airplane along with them. Although, don't go out and try to fly one just by listening to the show, okay?
Leftan's a pilot.
Yeah, I'm a pilot. That's cool.
Sweet.
We should talk. We should have talked about that when we had more time, but we don't. We're running out.
Damn. So.
Anyway, be sure to join one or both of our national firearms associations. The CSSA and the NFA both do fantastic things for us here in Canada, so make sure you join up. Also, check us out on Gun Owners of Canada. It's an online gun forum. It's really cool. We're there. We post in there, but everybody ignores us because, well, you guys all contact us on Facebook, which is just as good, if not better. So, other than that, speaking of Facebook, go like us. Apparently these talking lead guys have like thousands and thousands and thousands of likes. We've got 300 and some, so yeah, that's not as cool. Anyhow,
yeah, y'all are cool.
Speaking of talking lead though, guys, it was awesome having you guys on the show tonight. I really got to start listening because it was a real riot talking to you guys.
Yeah, we had a great time. Yeah, I appreciate you having us on. Our good buddy BB there and Trevor.
Yeah, well, Trevor and Owen should be back next week. I'm not sure exactly where Owen is. I'm not sure exactly where Trevor is. It doesn't matter. They're not on the show. It's because they hate you listeners.
They were scared of us.
Send them hate mail.
They're like, they're having those rednecks on. We don't want to be on there.
He invited us on, but then he got scared.
What's nice is Trevor hooked me into being his replacement.
And it worked out very nicely, Brian. It's really nice having you on the show again.
Oh, thank you.
Because Brian is a leadhead. And he knew some references.
He rocks. Well,
I've got to become a leadhead now because it sounds like a good show, a really good show.
Well, thank you. We appreciate that.
We didn't say anything about that, but it's fun to be a leadhead.
Very cool. Anyway, guys, thanks for listening. You've done it again. You wasted another 90 minutes of your life. We're very sorry about it, but we'll catch you next week.
Night, everybody.
Keep your loved ones close
and your firearms closer.
Take somebody shooting.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
Somebody had to get it.
I love lamp.
So if you have any comments or questions for the show, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now go grab a gun and shoot something. When the talking is over, it's time to get a gun.